Hello, hello everyone. Welcome back to The Real Expat Wives of Arabia. And I would just like to take this moment to introduce my next guest, Kathy McDaniel. Little did I know, this woman, already with so much expertise and knowledge to share, has quite an amazing backstory, and I hope you guys enjoy it as much as I did. I absolutely adore her. I love what she offers to this community, and I would like to give her a little nickname called the Turtle Whisperer. She runs the Turtle House here, which is a little conservation effort in our community. And the backstory to what it has become now is just really interesting and fun to listen to. The excitement of actually what's to come for this little endeavor is bigger than what anyone had ever imagined. So I hope you enjoy hearing from our very own Turtle Whisperer, Kathy McDaniel.
Hello.
I told you it'd work.
Hey, I'm glad it did.
Yeah.
So, I hope I'm not too boring for your podcast.
Oh my goodness. So yeah, thanks so much for doing this, because I know you are a hard woman to pin down, and we finally settled on today. So
yeah, I'm sorry, I'm such a pain.
You're so busy, Kathy. You have so much going on.
It's funny. I don't feel like I do as I'm going, but then when someone asks me to do something, then I go, oh, maybe I am.
Right?
Yeah, because this afternoon I have nothing else for the rest of the day. So just kind of funny.
It's nice to not have anything, because then it leaves room for other stuff, I guess.
Yeah, relaxing.
Yep. If you create the space for it, things will happen. It's kind of cool.
I'm definitely someone who needs that decompression time sometimes too, you know?
Oh, just gosh. To chill, yes.
Do nothing for a little while. It helps me reset.
Yeah. The overachiever mindset for me has definitely died down quite a bit.
Yeah. I think that's a good thing. So, I don't think that's good for us to be going all the time and switched on all the time. Yeah,
exactly. And I think a lot of people will come here and realize it's uncomfortable at first, because it grows on you. It grows on you how things here allow you to actually, if you want to, you can have a very relaxed life.
Yes.
But also, if you want to, you can also stay really busy.
I do think you can choose here, right? And we don't always get that choice when we live at home. But, it's funny, though. Don't you find it odd? Like, here you think, all we do is mainly drive around camp most of the time. And then when we go home, it's like I find myself, I have no tolerance for traffic. I have no tolerance for, it's like, oh, I don't want to go there. That's going to take me 15 minutes to drive there.
I know. It's so, so true. Stupid. It's so true. Dave and I were just talking about how, like, in South Florida, like, it's super crowded and happening, and like there's tons of stuff to do, and like delinquent behavior, which I love, like down south, like Fort Lauderdale area, Miami, because it's like where the party is. And then like we bought in West Palm, and it's like so quiet. Like, for me, it's very quiet up there.
Yeah.
But for my family members who live like in Clewiston and beyond, like even further north, they think West Palm's too rowdy and loud. So it's just so funny. Yeah. And we were just saying, because like UNF is up in the Jacksonville area. So University of North Florida, we were asking Abby to go ahead and apply there too, because and she's like, no, mom, it's too far away from South Florida. We're like, just apply. Like, we were just saying how, like, up north in Florida, it's still quite nice and quiet. And
you know. Yep. And North Florida is really nice. Like, my sister used to live in Tampa, and I feel like I've spent a lot of time, like, going around different places in Florida, and I would love to live there.
Yeah.
I love Sarasota area.
Yep.
Very pretty. All points south on that side, I absolutely love.
Yeah, the West Coast is great. Tampa is actually getting really crowded.
Yes, I heard that too. St. Pete is a different place than it used to be.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. But so where, but okay, let's talk a backstory of Kathy. So
okay,
where did you grow up? Like, where in the States were you?
In an itty bitty teeny town where there's nothing in northern New York, right on the Canadian border. So like, whoa, it is teeny tiny. The nearest city is about 2.5 hours away.
Wow.
Yeah. So when we fly to visit my parents, you know, we have to fly into a city, you know, a couple of hours away, and then you still have a drive on top of that. Yeah. And the weather is really bad. So starting like November to April, anytime you go there, there's a good chance you'll be snowed in.
And leave. Oh, God. Yeah. So, okay. So then where did you end up? You stayed there all through high school, and then where did you attend college?
I attended several colleges. I kept changing my major. So I SUNY Potsdam, where I was a dance major and economics of all weird
what?
Things. Yeah.
Stop it right major. Now.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That is hilarious. I love that.
I know. And then I left the year I was supposed to try out for a bunch of companies. Because I was starting to feel like I wanted to do the marine biology thing, but I wasn't brave enough. So I lived in a few different towns and I always took classes all the time. So, you know, in another school, I took a lot of marketing and accounting classes, and another school, I mainly did marketing. And then I just decided to go for it and do the marine biology thing. So at that point, I lived further south in New York, near Albany, New York, the capital. And I went to school at a little tiny women's college there. Mm-hmm. And they had all these awesome marine biology programs. So they'd send me to study for a month here, a week here, 10 days there. And it was great fun.
Awesome.
So that's where I graduated from. With chemistry and biology were my majors, with a concentration in marine biology.
So then what kind of job did you get with that degree after that?
A really crappy one. Like, it paid $7 an hour.
Wow.
So this expensive education did not get me a high paid job. I moved first because I was going to do my graduate degree at Texas A&M in Galveston, Texas. So I moved there to work as an intern with the professor that I wanted to get in and work with, studying dolphins, doing dolphin research.
Uh-huh.
And during the course of that year, he said he would accept me, and I started the enrollment process for grad school. And then I just decided that I was also doing work with another professor who did a lot of fishery type stuff. And I found that I found the fish stuff way more exciting.
Exciting. Okay.
A shark biology job came up and I applied for it and I got in at a very entry level. And then I worked my way up to a curator, and I was a curator of marine fish. And that included all the sharks and invertebrates and things like that.
And where was that located?
Moody Gardens in Galveston, Texas. So.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, awesome. And then I just worked there, and I worked with Texas A&M and Texas Parks and Wildlife on a lot of joint projects. So I got a lot of research stuff in, and my only regret was I kind of dropped my grad school plan and didn't finish. So I have some classes, and that's as far as I took it. So
yeah, but you've got all the experience.
Yeah, definitely. It was fun being part of an aquarium from the ground floor. So I was able to work right from the startup. So from the point of building a quarantine building where we housed all the animals prior to moving into the aquarium was pretty cool. It was pretty fun. It didn't pay much, but that did improve as I moved up the ladder, you know, and I worked there for many years and then moved on to a slightly different kind of biology job after that. So
cool. And then, so is Texas where you met Roger?
It is.
Okay.
On a search and rescue dog team. So I had this awesome German short hair pointer, and I used him as a search dog. Uh-huh. So I worked with people and I trained my own dog and got him certified and worked with FEMA. And he joined our team with his little dog a couple of years after. And
oh my gosh.
Yeah.
He was healing. So cool.
Yeah, it was a fun way to meet. And we became friends for a lot of months before we started dating. I think that was a good thing, too. So
yeah, that's cool. I didn't know your meet story. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very cool.
No, it's a neat way to meet.
No wonder he's so like approving of all your pets.
He likes to complain about it, but the fact of the matter is he loves all of these rescues, and he likes to joke around. When I come home, I never know what's going to be locked in the bathroom, a sick bird, a sick kitten, whatever. And he's always like, he said it's always fun to see, to open the door and be like, okay, what visitor do we have today?
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah,
and so,
pretty supportive.
At what point did moving overseas come in the picture?
You know, we were together for a couple of years, and Max was a baby, my son, company here, and pursued it and went on an interview. And I don't think I took any of it seriously at all. I thought, right. My God, we're not going to go there. That's not going to work
absurd.
Out. Right. And then we didn't hear anything because they ended up hiring a different position and wanting him for a completely different job. And so then they contacted him again a few months later and said, look, you don't have to interview again, but we want you for this job. And it was actually even a better job. So he wanted to go. And I sent him ahead and I said, we had a dog, my awesome German Shorthaired Pointer. At that point, we had three dogs. But my German Shorthaired Pointer was sick at that point. So I said, you go ahead, see if this is a place you feel that we'll all be happy.
Yeah.
And once the situation with Opie is dealt with, then, you know, I'll consider moving over. So that's how we ended up here. And a year later, I moved here.
Okay. So it was only about a year difference.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We had intended for it to be shorter, but my dog's illness went on for a long time. So we just didn't even consider starting the move process until that was
done. So what year did you come here? I think for a long time though, like your animal passion couldn't really come through until you got a position with the vet, right?
Yeah, I think so. Like, I think we had already started to have a couple of sea turtles wash up on the beach, and they helped me out with that situation. So we had three or four by that point. And at the point you and I met, where the larger hawksbill came in, that one that you helped me out with, that one is how the vet relationship started. And they were, I think at that point, we all worked together, and then they offered me a job. As a vet tech. So at one point I was going down there almost full time because they are, you know, an hour away. So I was doing that several days a week, plus working one day here at the clinic. And then they were helping me out by providing medication and free healthcare for my sea turtles.
Right. So the coincidence, quote, I say coincidence because I don't believe, quote unquote, because I don't think there is coincidence. Like the purpose of your marine biology passion, like, you know, and then you being on this particular compound, which happens to lay literally right on the Arabian Sea, where there's sea turtles that wash up, where we would need some kind of expertise to actually see these turtles through and survive.
Yeah.
So what are the odds of, you know, that type of thing happening?
Those things are meant to happen. Yeah, you know, I knew someone in the environmental department, and so I was worried about getting in trouble because I knew these are highly endangered animals, and hawksbills are one of the most critically endangered. So the first turtle I ever had was a tiny little hawksbill. So the first thing I did was bring it back to my house and triage the turtle and get him in a healthier environment. And then I called the EPD and said, hey, look, I have this turtle. What should I do? I learned at the aquarium, we worked with National Marine Fisheries and rehabilitating some sea turtles. So I had some experience, but not extensively. So my learning curve was pretty much a 90-degree angle. And it was a lot of reading, a lot of research, and a lot of contacts. We had turtle vets helping us from literally all walks or all sides of the earth.
Wow.
We had people from every country and every time zone. So We were going after a lot of help at that point. And so, yeah, I contacted EPD and they said, absolutely, do it, you know, see and let us know, send us video pictures. And that's kind of how it all got started in my
brain. Right. And at that point, we were having to. You know, you were just like, anybody that can help me, please. We need
Fresh water.
Water for these, you know, these turtles can't sit in stagnant water. So we had to, so the whole, you know, like people would be like, okay, they'd show up with their golf carts and their buckets and we'd be walking up and down
every
the beach.
Every single day.
Getting the lifeguards involved, you know, putting them to work. And then, and that went on for several years because you were getting washed up turtles every year. It seems like somebody comes up on the shore.
Yeah. And initially it was always one or two. And then we had a year where we had six and four initially and two more later. Wow. And that's where we caught the attention of our local like recreation department and the community
and then services. And then it developed into who's ever listening, there's this, we have something here now called the Turtle House, and so there's an actual, and again it has need for improvement, however it is a beautiful space. And now the schools are involved in little field trips there, and they get to learn all about the turtle. You guys just posted like a contest for like a craft of like who can make like their version of a turtle. And I love that idea. I just saw that posted today. So that's so great.
Yeah. It's really taking off. We have attendance now, open hours are coming next week. It really is good. And they continue to try and make it better. They're trying to build us a seawater line that will pull directly from the ocean. And all I have to do is flip a switch to do water changes.
Oh my God. Absolutely
wonderful. It limits how much filtration we need. It'll make a huge improvement on our current situation. And they continue to help out. So more and more, they're starting to get us proper tanks and help us out with getting pumps and all the equipment and the food that we need to keep these guys going. And they're covering our vet care and things like that. So we've come a long way to blow up pools, you know, in my backyard.
No, they were like little plastic baby pools.
They were cartoon characters on them, you know.
And you had like a little tarp to like cover it and keep it somewhat in the shade. I mean, it was like.
Yes, and the first bucket filter I ever built was out of this bucket, and I had to suspend it from our little cute patio ceiling and over the turtle tank, and it was hysterical how we made all of this work, and it was all in a blow-up cartoon pool. Absolutely hysterical.
And I think you only lost one through those early stages. You had
We lost one of our first ones. He was quite ill. By the time we got him, he died within 24 hours. And so there wasn't much we could do to help him. We started him on antibiotics right away. And at that point, they gave me a stockpile of medication. So I would just call them and say, this is what I've got. And they would say, well, we'll come down and see him, but start him on. And they would give me the dosages. But we've had great luck ever since.
And when we, you know, so the release is a big day, you know, and you invite the community out and you know, if people can make it, it's just, it's so awesome just to see them release back into the water. You know, I will put like, so there's a Facebook page for the RT Turtle Rescue. And I believe that's it as of now, right? There's no website.
Right. Yeah. We have an Instagram and a Facebook page.
Insta. Oh, you do? I'm not following Insta. How I'm slacking.
We do have an Instagram as well.
And there's like, there's a little like for like, I think there's merch, right? There's like a little bit of merch in the shop, like little gift shop type
thing. Yes, there is. And actually now that's gotten bigger. So they're putting a food truck at our place and putting tables and chairs out front, and there'll be
Oh my God.
And yeah, it's growing a lot. So they're hoping to put a coffee cart inside and so make it a nice place for people to come and want to sit around the turtles. And the attendant will be sure, you know, no one's banging on the glass and everything is good for the turtles. Some of the turtles will be inside and some outside. And I think it has the potential to get bigger, which is kind of exciting too. So
yeah, and I was gonna say, like, so I mean, you're seeing these turtles come in, you're seeing, you know, I don't know, maybe you can obviously correct me, but the trash in the water, so yep. the pollution,
yes,
that causes these poor turtles sometimes to get just really caught in the crossfire of all this plastic, yeah. And there's bags and there's strings and there's wire, yeah. And it's awful to see. It's heartbreaking. Like
it is. It really is, and it happens a lot more often than I think people realize, because mm-hmm. a lot of times turtles will wash in. We'll free them, check them over really well. And as long as they're not covered in barnacles or have any deep wounds on them, if they yeah. seem healthy and well and their weight is good, we just go ahead and release them. Let right them go. Then.
Yeah.
That does happen a lot. We did a massive team effort release one summer while I was home in the U.S., and I had to navigate and direct the whole thing while I was on my way to a camping trip. And it took 3 hours of live video and making sure the turtle was okay to get to him, get him out of the water. And they cut 30 feet of garbage off small green sea turtle.
Oh, my God.
So it does happen quite often. Those don't always make our pages, but we do get a lot of that.
So there's two species that we find out here, right?
For the most part, yeah. Our two most common, yeah. Hawksbills and green sea turtles, yes.
Right. Yeah. Awesome. And then did we ever find our latest one, Ahmed, that you guys found? Did you ever find out the sex?
We don't know when they're young juveniles. It's okay. We can't tell yet. We won't know until they're closer to a sub-adult. And this guy's pretty little.
He's pretty small. Young. Yeah.
Yeah, probably 4 or 5 years old. So we always just pick a name and then go with it.
So we have, so we've got Ahmed. I know, right? That's yes. so funny.
Yes.
we've got Ahmed, and he's looking pretty good. So you think he'll be released
by the end of the month? We're hoping. Yes. So he's already gained enough weight to where uh-huh. we consider him worthy of release. He just has to check some boxes. And one of the biggest boxes we have to check right now is making sure all of his barnacles are dead. And they right. almost all are, but we have a few living ones. As soon as the last barnacle dies off, we're releasing him because we're under yeah. pressure right now. The water will be changing, and juvenile yes. turtles can't be released in cold water. So we release them before the weather cools too much.
Yes. And then the other one we've got right now is our dear Hope.
Yes, our adult, she's an adult. She still has growing left to do. She's about 130 pounds, about 55, 56 kilos. And we've had her for a year. She has some difficult issues we're trying to get past, but we actually think we're releasing her at the end of the month by boat. We're arranging that now.
Oh, so yes. deeper water.
Yes, yeah. They think that will be key. So we're going to release her okay. because she passes all of the checklists. National Marine Fisheries puts out a guideline. And then we have some international sea turtle vets that oversee us that we consult with almost daily. And so they give us guidance on how they feel like we should proceed next. So I send them videotape pictures and all of our feed records and that kind of thing. And then they go ahead and kind of give us advice on what we should do next, which has yeah. been invaluable. Yeah.
Yeah, because Hope has given us quite a challenge.
Yes, she has. We've never had a case like this before. Most of our cases are either entanglements or cold stun turtles. And mm-hmm. cold stun turtles will start coming in at the end of November. Yeah. And so... yeah, and that's why we'd like to release these guys, because we know the next batch is coming. So
we got to make some room out yes, of the old and with the new.
We really do, because Hope takes up a really big chunk yes. of the facility, because she has 3 pools that she moves in between. And oh, that's God. A lot. And she has a lot of water needs and yep. a lot of filtration and a lot of food needs. A
lot so. Of food. Yeah.
Yep. She's a big mama. Seagrass collecting for that girl. Mm-hmm. So
I know. It takes a village. The volunteers.
It does. It really does. Yeah. We've been trying to concentrate on showing people that. Like, you know, we have this whole team of people that come twice a week and sometimes more if necessary. And they collect water for us. So they take this massive pump that we now have, and it takes only about 30 minutes now. And they collect water for us and bring it to us. And that's just one little tiny aspect. We have people that are maintenance staff that are just for us. We have a huge team of volunteers, 40 people who help out regularly. It's kind awesome. Of collecting seagrass and helping out physically with the turtles, doing all kinds of stuff for us.
Yeah, it's a big deal. It's such a great thing that's on our, and it's very unique and it's special to our community and our.
It is. So, and it's the first rehab facility here on this coast ever.
Yeah, I bet.
It's kind of neat. And now we're on the radar of all the little villages and towns up and down on the coast. So now when turtles come in, we'll be getting turtles from off the area where we live as well.
Right. Yeah. Because now they actually know you exist and have a contact.
And... Yes. Yes. And the university, the turtle biologists there who are always out on the beaches looking for nesting and signs of turtles. We get turtles from them as well. That's actually where Hope came from. She came from Demom on a beach there from the university found her. So
oh, wow. Oh, okay.
That's how we got her. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we had quite a few turtles last year, all presented new challenges for us. So it made us learn a lot.
Yeah. And I know Sweet Kendall had to leave us because that's a whole nother, how does she end up? How does she end up in this little tiny part of, you know, Saudi Arabia with her expertise?
Yeah, she is so good at the nesting program that we managed.
So, like, complimented, you know, what you already had going. And so having her was invaluable. Like, she was great.
She was, and having a second person who knows this it was wonderful because sometimes decisions aren't black and white, and sometimes we have to choose the best option out of a bunch of options that really aren't great. And with concerning and regarding Hope, that has been the case since day one. We tried to release her last November. It did not go well. She panicked and she went upside down, and we were not happy to release her. We did not want to release her, but at that time we did not have pools big enough. We didn't have a facility that could support her, and we wanted her to go before winter. And she was pretty healthy. So, and she checked all the boxes. The vets approved her to go. It just wasn't our favorite option, and it didn't go well.
Right. Yeah,
so we had to hurry up and scramble and get bigger pools and build some filters that suited her needs or met her needs. And, you know, it was hard going.
Yeah.
Turtles that year.
And then the other big part that's been, I think, probably like a bit of a not revelation, but just probably again, I'm sure they were calling you lots if they needed you. But like when you depart, like. Knowing that this thing can run independently, probably like, I know you leaving for the summer was a huge deal.
Yes, so, it was. Yes.
To get your boy all set up in his new boarding situation.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And that was a non-negotiable. You had to leave. And you can't, you know, you obviously none of us are here forever. So
We had to run it. We trained more than 20 people. In the 6 weeks before I left, and we had people coming in every day. So we would have massive numbers of people coming in and showing them how to do things. And there were times when I was on the phone this summer on video, like a live chat, the FaceTime or Facebook, and they'd be showing me something and we'd be trying to fix a filter together or a pump together. And it was hysterical.
That would be me. I'd be like,
But you know,
it hold it my hand well. And walk me through this. Yeah,
it went so well. It went off without a single hiccup. And we had issues for sure. Hope's pools kept leaking. She went through four different pools while I was gone.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a lot. It was crazy. And, but you know what? Everyone was so dedicated and they handled it
incredibly well. Yeah. Huge shout out to everybody that, held the fort, kept the fire burning while you were gone.
Yes. And I came back to two healthy, thriving turtles. You know, it was fantastic.
Yeah. Yep.
One of them has since been released. So, yeah.
Yep, she went off with a bang.
She did. No hesitation. No hesitation. She was just like, see ya, bitches.
Yeah, that was awesome. I love it. You know, it's hard to see him go. And I know every single person that volunteers has some kind of connection to these turtles. And it's just, it's so fun. And I'm so glad you present, you do what you do and the opportunity's there. So, awesome. So
we have a lot of fun.
I know.
A lot of frustration and a lot of fun.
Yeah. And I don't, you know, it's given you such a outlet, given you such a purpose.
Yes.
And kind of like a confirmation that you're just supposed to be here. Like that's all there is to it.
Yes. And you know what? That's a great way to put it because that's true. I feel like this is my place right now. This is where I should be. And it feels right. All these things clicked into place and I couldn't have asked for it to go better. So, you know, it's kind of my dream job just kind of plopped itself down in front of me. And
so great.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And we're doing something good for the world, you know?
And then do you, and I don't know, you partnering with Kai, there was like marine camps. I don't know if that's still going on.
We tried to this fall, but we had a really windy fall and we had to keep canceling. So we're actually gearing up to begin trying that again this winter before it gets too cold. We do marine biology classes. So we do different types of classes. We do dissection on the beach. We do look with animals we get from the local fish markets. We do snorkeling. We do seine netting, that kind of thing, and teach the kids about where they live and what's here and what it does. So it's kind of fun.
And I don't know if this is something, I mean, in collaboration with Turtle House or just, I don't know, but the beach
they cleanups. Want it to be, they want it to have one to do with the other. In fact, like we will probably start out a lot of our classes at the Turtle House now or end them there and incorporate that in and the local entities that oversee us all want us to do that as well. And I'm going to be hopefully collaborating with Mangrove Project as well. We're coming up with some different exhibits we could do.
I haven't even been out there. I need to go check
facilities.
That out.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Yeah. Is it? Yeah, I bet.
Gorgeous. Yeah. High tide is the time to go and it's fabulous. The birds that are stopping there this time of year are pretty extraordinary. To mention all the flamingos and it's just phenomenal.
That's awesome. Yeah. But what about like beach cleanups?
Yes.
Oh man. Yeah. It's gotten so bad.
We're getting ready to organize one for the north part because for some reason that has not been cleaned up lately. And north beach worries me. It does. It's
Kathy, it's bad. I know. It's really bad.
Yeah, it just washes down our shore and it's very concerning. And I think that's something that it's great for people who live in countries that have been already working on doing green things for the world, recycling. It's something to think about how this part of the world, this is all brand new.
Yeah.
And, you know, taking on all of these, you know, the Mangrove Project, you know, look what they did there. They built this fantastic space with all the mangroves to combat erosion and give something back to the environment and supporting the Sea Turtle Project. And they're doing so much now. And it's pretty amazing because it's brand new, you know, and now recycling is becoming a thing and making people more programs on not littering. It's fantastic to be here and see the change in the 12 years. It's phenomenal.
I bet.
It really is.
Yeah. Yeah. Trash is a concept for sure.
Yes.
The disposal of and, yeah, the environment, all that. It's so true. So it true. Is. And I mean, even oil, right? Like they're going other ways, right? For energy.
Yeah. They're starting to research a lot of different, you know, power and
They've got to.
Yes.
They've got to.
Absolutely.
So,
but you can't walk around here without tripping over an oil well.
Yeah, it's definitely in abundance, but you know, at some point you're just kind of like, well,
what's best for the environment, and water power seems like a good viable option here. So,
Or even the heat, it blows my mind that homes here aren't built with solar panels. Like it blows me away.
Think of the, oh my gosh.
Gosh.
To have an air conditioning bill, I would think that that would be huge for them, you know?
I mean, it's, yeah, they can harness so much power from the sun, so.
People were all still piling in, and so there was, there were only probably, Max's class was very small in the beginning, even when he started in K-4, you know, there were 7 or 8 kids in his class.
No way.
There were only, yeah, so all the parents, we were all friends because there were only maybe 14 kids his age. So it was
easy.
Most of the houses were empty and it was different. And when I first got here, it felt like a vacation, you know, with this exotic place with this beautiful beach. But then, you know, you're here for 3 months and reality sets in and you think, oh my God, I live here. And that is sort of shocking for a while.
Right.
And,
yeah.
You know, because it's very different. Everything is different. Food is different. Availability of your favorite items is different. You know, it's feast or famine. Sometimes it's here for 3 months and it's unlimited and you don't see it again for a year and a half. So, you know, you learn how to eat things and navigate things and understand that customer service is different here.
Oh,
and,
yes.
And the more you can adapt and just roll with it, the better. Because if you get upset over every little thing because it doesn't go like it does where you're from.
Yeah.
You have a harder time adapting, but and then we all have those days, right? We all have those days where you're like, "Oh, I just want to go home."
Yeah, but, and then we're back home and we're like, "Oh my God, I can't wait to go back."
Yes. How weird is that? Yes, this is home, and this is all my son knows. You know, he's been here since he was 2, and he just cannot wait to come home on his first break. Like, this is home. His dogs are here. You know, his parents, his life, his friends. It's just amazing.
So he'll be here for the winter break?
He'll be here for a week for Thanksgiving because he was really homesick. So I was hesitant to let him come home for such a short amount of time with the time change and jet lag. But he absolutely wanted to. And so I didn't want to tell him he couldn't come home. So he'll be here for Thanksgiving and then he'll go back for 2.5 weeks and then he'll be here for a month over winter break.
Okay. So, yeah, that'll be good. I think that'll be good.
I think so too. I think it'll be just fine. They're young. They can handle jet lag like cake. Yeah,
totally. Like yeah, I think it'll be good. I think that was a good decision.
Yeah, I think so. I think he needed it.
And well, I mean, so this is your only son and you sent him off. You sent him off to boarding and correct me again if I'm wrong, but like I feel like you guys went from honestly considering like leaving.
Yes.
To then staying and then considering, well, maybe keeping, you know, okay, so do we keep him at, you know, the high school in Khobar or Bahrain, and then to keep him close, but yet still in high school. And then you guys went ahead and settled with actually, you know, no, let's have him go to boarding back in the US. Yeah. So I think you guys went through like a lot of, you know,
we considered it all for sure. Except the staying here wasn't really an option only because the sports he wanted to play and was very interested in were not available here. And I wanted him to have a good high school experience. I didn't want him to be bored and looking for things to do. And he didn't want to play the sports that were available to him here. They just weren't his thing. We did consider Bahrain, and we looked around. We went and toured just to see what our options were in the U.S. We toured a lot of the schools and that had the sports that he wanted and at levels he could play, because it was important to us that he could try whatever sport he wanted to without having to worry about being an elite player of whatever that was going to be. And so we chose schools that had many different levels of all the sports he was interested in. That's where everything changed. We saw these places. They were amazing. He got so excited about going. And so we had to kind of regroup and change our mindset. And it was hard.
It was really hard.
Yeah.
I can't imagine.
As an only boy, we don't send our kids away very often. It's not super common. And it's tough. And you know as well. It is. Yeah. You know, big time.
Yeah. Yeah. There's definitely sacrifices, you know, there's sacrifice, you know, but we've grown to learn that just being by being expats. And then I think the whole boarding situation is a whole nother level of sacrifice.
It is, but what an experience they're getting, you know, it's also something we could never provide at home. The experiences and what he's able to participate in and projects, the level of activity is amazing. Very enriching for our kids. Experiences I never had when I was that age.
I know. And that's what we all can only hope for, right? Just to give our kids, you know, more than what we were able to, you know, to
have. Yeah, but he's happy. It does make it a lot easier for sure. Yes.
Oh gosh, yeah. He's just a little homesick, and he'll get his fix. He'll get his fix, and then he'll be good. Yeah. And then he'll be back. And then don't know. Like you said, you don't know what's happening for spring yet with him.
No, spring break. He's coming home this year, and then, but we are taking a dive trip. I think to Sharm el Sheikh, but he is. He's coming home for spring break. Yeah.
Oh, I love Sharm el Sheikh. Okay.
Yeah.
So speaking of travel, like you guys have been to a lot of places, I'm assuming.
We have. Yes, we have. We've taken full advantage of being halfway around the world. we haven't seen much of Europe, honestly, because I mean some, but we're trying to see places that are difficult to see from the US without taking a month off.
Agreed.
Agreed. Hard little corners of the world. So we've been to all kinds of probably unusual places that people wouldn't be first on their list. And that has been amazing for Matt.
Yep.
What an experience for all of us. He's got stuffed animals that have seen more of the world than most people do in their lifetime. It's pretty amazing. So he's gotten to see some great stuff.
Which trip would you say like was one of your favorites?
It's hard to choose.
I know it's really,
really
hard.
Really hard, but I think South Africa and Finland were my favorites. South Africa because of all the animals. Stuff, the penguins, the white shark diving, the safari, all of that was just, I mean, absolutely amazing. And Max remembers a lot of it, even though he was quite young, and we were there for about 3.5 weeks. So we really got to see a lot, do a lot. Finland, I think, was right up there, though, too. We went during the Christmas season, and we were actually in the North Pole and the dog sledding and meeting Santa from the North Pole, who's 7'2" and has, you know, a real beard and hair. Was an experience I could never have imagined to give my kiddo. Just absolutely amazing. Yeah, those two trips, I think, stick out in my mind more than anything. So.
Yeah, did you guys see any of the I don't know what you call it.
The auroras?
The Northern Lights?
Yeah, the auroras. Yeah, we tried. We went out. When we were there, it was only light out for about 3 hours a day.
Oh, okay.
We never actually saw the sun because it was so low in the sky. Unless we were in Helsinki, we did. But like further up in the North Pole, it would barely get light out. I mean, and it was hardly detectable that that was actually light. It was a little bit less than dark during those 3 hours. And so we thought we'd get to see the auroras, but it snowed almost the entire time we were there. So it blocked our view. So we weren't able to see them. But we did take a few trips to try and see them, but it didn't work out.
That's my only, I'm like, man.
Like, yeah.
If we go there and then we don't get to see the Northern Lights, I'd be so bummed.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. And I was. But you know what? There's always Iceland, too. I want to go visit Iceland. And
oh, God. Yes. That is like an ultimate bucket list for me personally.
It is me as well. So
oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know for you guys, because you guys love to hike and like do all that crazy stuff.
Yeah. I love all the excursions and and there's so many great places in the world to do all of that with different things to see. Pretty lucky to be able to participate in it.
Oh yes,
for sure.
Lucky. Okay, I'm gonna do a little rapid fire. So I just ask you questions.
Okay,
you just like what's on the top of your head.
Okay,
what's the worst thing you've ever eaten from a restaurant?
Oh, I wish I had a quick answer. I don't know. I think I know I've sent some rotten fish back once.
Oh, that's pretty bad.
And I'm guessing that's probably the worst thing, because I'm a pretty timid eater these days. As I get older, I don't eat as much meat as I used to. So I probably don't have a good story for that one. Yeah.
If you could learn any language in a week, what would it be?
Arabic.
Really? I know, it's hard. It's a hard language. Dave and I did an 8-week class here through the education department, and we still don't know anymore. I mean, it was so hard, and we just don't practice enough. So
it is new letters left to right instead of right to left, or vice versa. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. And, it's crazy.
It's a really tough language, but very hard. I think it would be so useful to have a little more Arabic than I do. Living here.
Okay, what do you impulse buy most often at the store?
Shoes.
Name a person who inspires you.
I want to say one of my friends. I think Kai Lauritsen. Can I say that?
Oh, really?
Yes, she does.
Oh, that's awesome.
She's so great. She's got this matter-of-fact personality, and she'll say something like, she's very logical, and she gives me a lot of, she inspires me a lot, because she also supports me a lot in all my crazy endeavors. And we've done a lot of crazy things together since.
Oh my gosh. I know. I thought you might mention your Nepal trip where you guys were like hang gliding from the Mount Everest.
We have had some adventures. Let me tell you, being lost in remote parts of South. I mean, and she's just so much fun, and she's just always got a great attitude about it. So she's really fun to travel with too. We tried to go volunteer in an orphanage in Nepal, and when it fell through, we were like, okay, we're here for a week. What should we do? Let's go jump off a cliff. Let's go. let's go on a glider 10,000 feet up with, a motor on this little thing, like a lawnmower. That God knows how much maintenance it gets. And we thought,
you guys posted that, I was like, okay, you guys are officially crazy in my book. This is awesome.
Oh, yes.
That was so great.
It was really cool
to see you guys do that together.
Yeah, we've done some good girl trips, but yeah, that one was definitely the most adventurous. We did a whitewater rafting trip where I'm pretty certain we were being stalked by a large cat. The Sherpa guy that they sent with us to hike up over this one area that we had to get down to our raft on the other side of a mountain. We kept seeing scats and paw prints, and he was getting scared, and he's like, we need to go, and kids kept down the mountain.
when the guide is scared, you know it's time to get scared.
Yep, he was getting uneasy for sure. So yeah, it was pretty fun.
Okay, what chore do you absolutely despise doing?
Laundry.
So to you, what is the best age to be?
Any age, really. I'm happy I'm still here and kicking and alive. So any age, to be honest. I think they all have their benefits, and I like the wisdom that comes with my older ages. So now that I'm 54, I like that I'm okay with myself, flaws and all. And I care so much less about what others think and do and say. So it's a good place to be in your life, where you only invite the positive in, and the negative you're easily able to shut away. It's a good place to be.
Amen. What's your zodiac sign?
Cancer.
Oh, crap. That's fitting. So Yeah, that fits right in. Yeah. With your marine person.
Does it? Oh. Yeah.
Like a water. Yeah, I mean, come on. Well, I guess Pisces would also be because it's a fish. Yeah. So do you have any last words of advice? Like when I ask people this, I just kind of say, like, well, if you were to give someone advice if they were thinking about moving here, or for someone that is here already and they're new, like what would you say to somebody?
You know, I really think you have to look at it like a new adventure and really get it out of your mind that it's going to be anything like home. I think when someone's going to come here, they just have to look at it as all being new, embrace it, and be happy about it. Be okay with the fact that you're just going to have to get outside of your comfort zone and eat new things and try new things and meet different kinds of people, different background, different culture. Like, I think you'll be the happiest if you can just take all of that in stride. And it would have helped me too, because I came with a 2-year-old who only ate 2 things. And you know, I was like, well, what am I going to feed him? You know, nothing is here that he eats. And you know what? Pretty intense about that. And then it all just worked out. And
it does. He survived.
Just, yeah. You have to go with the flow.
Oh my God.
And I found 2 new things he would eat. And that was all he ate for a long time. But you know, it works out. So
that's awesome.
A great eater. But
oh, well, yeah, I bet you're looking forward to having him here.
I can't wait. I've already started making him some of his favorite dishes and putting them in the freezer. I got him a crazy huge sign that says "Welcome Home, Max," and I'm surrounding it with lights and doing so just sweet. Being silly. Yeah, just being silly, trying to make him laugh, put a smile on his face.
That's awesome. Well, I love your boy, and I'm so glad he's like same age as the twins. And
your girls so sweet with him too.
Yeah,
they're total sweethearts.
Yeah, they're trying to coordinate for spring break, but it's just so far. We're not really sure what we're doing.
I know, and Max has a long time off for spring break, so he's hoping that they're all going to be here at some portion of it, so that they can all hang out again. So that was a good group of kids, really, really good group of kids together. So
yeah,
I'm glad they all stay in touch.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Bella's always trying to coordinate the group to stay in contact. So she's always like initiating, you know, group conversations with everyone just to kind of keep tabs on everyone.
I think that's incredibly sweet. You need someone like that in every group.
Right? Otherwise it just all falls apart. I know.
You need that glue to hold everyone together.
Yeah, well, she knows.
Bella's the glue. Yeah.
Well, Absolutely. This was awesome. And I'm going to, again, I'll put the information for the Turtle House. You never know what comes of it, because this podcast, even though I only have like 5 people listening, it might get to somebody that takes really, you know, interest and
that, you know, and all the help and advice and information we can get is always a great thing. So that would be fantastic. So, and thanks for
donations.
Having me on. I love it. Yeah. Thank you.
Yes. Thanks for coming. I know it was hard, but we did it. We did.
We did.
And yep. I don't know when you need me this week at the Turtle House, but
Thursday.
Just let me know. Thursday morning?
Yes, Thursday okay. would be wonderful, because all of my regular help is leaving on Thursday. So,
yeah, we leave Friday morning. So we're here. I'll be there Thursday.
Okay, if it doesn't work out for you, let me know, because I totally understand. So
no, it's fine. We won't be here. We won't leave until Friday morning. We're going to head to Riyadh. Okay. Yeah.
Where are you going?
We're just going to Riyadh.
Oh, okay. Oh, that would be fun.
You know, get out. Change of scenery.
Different. Yeah, exactly. But that's always fun. We took a train there and did the edge of the world thing and like saw a lot of cool back caves, and there's fun stuff to do there for sure.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So I made Dave promise to take me. So we're going.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm actually driving, but like he's coming with me.
Nice. It's good to bring the husband when you go places sometimes anyway.
Yeah, it's all good. I'm actually trying to plan like a yoga retreat to Goa, so we'll see if he's on board with that, but I will probably be alone for that. Anyways, all right, so I will see you Thursday morning.
All right, sounds good.
Okay, thanks, Kathy.
Okay, thanks Kim. So talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Bye.